Okay, so Ram Lamed Daled today. So let me just go over a little bit from yesterday. So yesterday we were talking about the Arvei Nachal. I didn't have a chance to go through this whole piece, but I mentioned to you that some Rishonim say that the Aravot you purchase should be Aravot that grow by a river. So it depends how you learn the sugya. So he mentions, I'll do this just briefly, he mentions that according to the Bali Tosfot, the Bali Tosfot hold that only Aravot that grow near a brook are valid. That's the way the Bali Tosfot hold it. It has to, you know, grow by water. Rashi says preferably by a brook, and the Rush disagrees with Rashi and Tosfot, so I won't go through the whole thing, but he says the Tur, who's the son of the Rush, remarks it's a Hidur mitzvah, exemplary mitzvah, to use Aravot from a willow tree growing near a brook. Shulchan Aruch, however, omits mention of such a preference. Just Ara, I would mention it to you. Okay, let's take a look on Lamed Daled. So again, we're talking about the Aravot. Let's take a look. So I'll begin around five lines from the top, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay? So Lamed Daled, I'm on 34A, page 67, five lines from the top. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Arvei Nachal. Arvei Nachal means willows that grow by a brook. And so the Braisa explains, HaGedelot al HaNachal, that grow by the brook, by the body of water. This comes to the tzaftzafa. Tzaftzafa is a type of willow that grows in the mountains. And the tzaftzafa has a round leaf, and it looks a little bit different than the willow. So that's in this first version. We're going to have two versions of this. In the first version, that's the end of the Braisa. So Amar B'zeira Maikra. So B'zeira says, what's the pasuk that supports the idea that the tzaftzafa is not a willow, a kosher willow for the Aravot, but it's a very inferior type of willow. Micro. So he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Now this pasuk in Yechezkel, it's part of the Yechezkel has a vision, and it's a chidai, like he speaks in a mashal, a parable. In the parable, he sees an eagle. The eagle takes some seeds, it plants it here, plants it there. So it compares in this mashal that's coming up. It compares the Jews to an arava, like a willow tree that's by the water. That's what Hashem wanted for them, but they chose to be the tzaftzafa, the inferior thing. In other words, they didn't follow the Ritzon Hashem. So it says, "I'm Rizera Maikra, Kach Al Mayim Rabin." Like, you know, I wanted you that which was taken on Mayim Rabin, which is the Arava, but tzaftzafa sama. We placed it as a tzaftzafa, meaning the tzaftzafa is something inferior to the Arava. And I'll pause it just a few lines, and we'll take questions up. So Amarli Abaye. So Abaye says there is a rov, but Dilma Pirushi Kamafarish. Who says the tzapsva is like an inferior type of willow? Maybe the pasuk is just explaining what an arava could be. Kach al mayim rabim. Take that which grows on lots of water, which is the willow. Mayniu tzapsva. That's the tzapsva. So the Gemara says imkain my sama. What does it mean? He placed it. In other words, like he was supposed to be an arava, but he placed it as a tzapsva. Now, Amri Bahu, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti, Shu Yisrael L'Panai, Kekach Amayim Rabim, Umayim Niyo Rava. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I wanted the Jewish people to be before me like that which is taken on Mayim Rabim, that which like grows on Mayim Rabim, and that's the Arava. Vehin Samu Atzman Ketzafzfa Shabarim, and they became the Tzafzfa Shabarim. In other words, they chose the bad path. They became like, you know, I wanted them to be, you know, like the wonderful bush tree, and they chose to be like Tzafzfa. He says, now let me just do another piece, then I'll pause. Ika demat ilo lahai kram anita. Some learn that this pasuk was part of the braisa itself. So in this second version, kacha mayim rabim tzafzfa samo. In other words, that pasuk is part of the braisa. So the braisa says that arvei nachal are the rabot that grow by the river, and tzafzfa is you can't use, and that grows by naharim. And then the braisa quotes the pasuk we just mentioned. Kacha mayim rabim tzafzfa samo. Matkiv la Rabbi Zeira, so Rabbi Zeira asks a question, which is the same question that Abaye had in the earlier version, the Dilma Perushi Kamafarish. Maybe it's just explaining what the Arava could be. Kach Amayim Rabim, in other words, take that which grows on the wonderful water, large waters, or the great waters, Mayuniu Tzafsapa, that's the Tzafsapa. So Imkein Mai Samo, if that's the case, why would it say Samo? In other words, it's like he placed them, they were A, and he placed them as B. He says, Amri Brahma Marakash Barku, and Yamarti Shu Yisrilapanai Kakaka, Mayim Rabim. Kash Barku said, I wanted the Jews to be that, like that, which is, you know, taken from the great waters, Umayuni Arava, Behin Samuatsman Ketzafsva Shabarim, naming themselves like the Tzafsva that's in the mountains. Okay, let me just see for a second, and let me just see. Okay, I think that's it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, everybody good? Okay, let me move on. Now, the Gemara says we're in the Braisa on Lamed Aleph and Aleph, midway down the column. So Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Arava, Ezu Tzafzfa. So now the Gemara tries to dissect it. What's an Arava? What's a Tzafzfa? So Arava, now the Gemara is going to have three simanim for the Arava. The Arava is the willow, as you know. So he says, Arava, Kaneshala Adom. With the Arava, its twig, its stem is red. In other words, like the wood, the branch or whatever is red. Ba'aleh Shala Mashuch, its leaf is elongated. Upia Chalak, and the edge of its leaf is smooth. Let's get our picture books out for this. Okay, everybody get the picture books out. Okay, now, then he says...
Page 117.
Thank you. Okay, he says, Tzafzafa, with the Tzafzafa, Kanesh Lalaban, the branch is white, but Alesh Agol, its leaf is more roundish, Upia Domela Magal, and its leaf is serrated like a sickle. It's serrated like a sickle. So we have three simanim for the Arava, and let me get it. So which page does state is, Fern?
117 onto 118.
Okay, thank you. Let's get pictures now. So a picture is worth 1,000 words, as they say. Okay. So, one second.
But okay. Nothing as beautiful as the Hadas with the seven leaves from yesterday. Right.
Okay. Okay, so again, so if you see, first he has a picture of the Tzafzafa. It's if you show it or share it. So you have like this, the upper left-hand corner on page 116, that's the Tzafzafa. And then he shows that the Arava, you see in the upper right-hand corner on page 117 is a long leaf. And the Arava has got the red branch, the red twig. And the Aleshala, the edge of the leaf is relatively smooth. Okay. Whereas the Tzafzafa on the lower left hand corner, the branches look white. And then turning the page on page 118, the upper right hand corner, the leaf is more roundish. And he says, and the edge of the leaf is somewhat serrated. Okay. So we got that. All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara. So we said that the Tzafzafa is pia. It says pia domela magal. Its edge is like a sickle. Bahatanya, but in a Braisa we learn domela magal kasher. So we just said in Braisa number one that when the edge is like serrated like the magal, which is the sickle, then that's not good. As we said, that was the Tzafzafa. But in the Braisa, it says, Domela Magal Kasher. If it's like serrated like the Magal, it's kosher. Domela Meser Pasul. If it's similar to the saw, it's Pasul. So he has a picture here. So Domela Magal, you have a picture for that. And with the saw, he has another leaf in the lower right-hand corner. Actually, they have in the Perish Chai, they have another picture. But the idea is, let me see it outside first. The saw, the way Rashi explains it, the teeth come straight out. That's the saw. And the magal, the teeth are leaning backwards towards the handle. And I think he's got a picture here in the Perish Chai. One second. Let me find it. Picture out. One lamadala today. Yeah. So if you have the Perish Chai in front of you, we should have some Perish Chais on the shelf. You know what? There's two on the shelf if you want to get it. It's you know, it's two shelves above the Gemara, as you see it, right there. Yeah, thank you. So just spread the wealth. Anyway, so you see, like it has on page 108, it has a saw. We got one here, so why don't you take one there, and you can get one between Odate and the other one. Okay. So leave it here. Fine. Okay, it's for you. Okay, I'm here. Okay. So, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So when one Braisa we learned that it's Don Magal is Pasul, and the second Braisa is Don Magal is Kasher. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Kitanya hi, that last Braisa that said Don Magal is Kasher, Kitanya hi, the Chilfa Gila, a certain type of willow, the Gila willow. So it means like this, that most Arabot have to have all three Simanim. This Chilfa Gila is an exception to the rule, and can have two of the simanim. That's what it's really saying. So the chilfa gila, if it's that willow, so it could have, it could be domel magal and still be kosher. He says, so the Gemara says, kitani hibe chilfa gila, amar abaye, shmamina hai chilfa gila kasher lahushana. So Abaye says, from here we see the chilfa gila is kasher lahushana. Hoshana means the whole bundle with the lulav, hoshana. Hoshana means like that which you're holding when you say hoshana. That's the lulav, okay? That's hoshana, okay? So he says, so the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, you know, the, from what you said in the Braisa. So ma'u detem ahov itli shem labai lonit kasher. I might have thought, since it's called, chilfa is the willow, and it's called the gila willow, so it has a shem labai, a modifying name to it, so it shouldn't be kosher. In other words, the Torah says, take an arava. So kamashmalan. So it's kamashmalan that it is kosher. Ba'ema hachinami. So why taka in hachinami? It shouldn't be good. So the Gemara says, arvi nachal amarachman mikol makom. The Torah says, arvi nachal, the aravo that grow by the nachal, meaning there's more, arve is like plural, but aravo. So there's more than one arava, which is kasher, and chilfa gila is kasher. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, let me keep moving. All right, now we're 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chista, Hanitlat Mila Yishtani Shemayu Michi Charav Beit HaMikdash. Rav Chista says the following three items, their names have changed from the time the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. They were called A and now they're called B. Chilfata Aravta, that which was previously called Chilfata. Chilfata here means the Safzafa is now called Aravta, now called Aravo. Aravta, that which was previously called Aravta, is now called Kilfata. And like you saw, Kilfa Gila. Kilfa Gila is like the Gila Kilfa. So it means the kosher Aravot are called Kilfata now. So my Nafkamina, what's the Nafkamina? Which way, which is called which? The Lulav. In other words, you have to know, you're going to buy something for the Lulav, you have to know how to refer to it. So today, you refer to the kosher Aravot as Kilfata. Then a different thing that changed, Shipura Chatzotzarta. That which was previously called Shipura Shofar, is now called Chatzotzarta, is now called like a trumpet. Chatzotzarta Shipura. And Chatzotzarta means, originally Shipura is like the rounded horn, which is what we use in shofar. And Chatzotzarta is a straight horn, without a curving on it. So he says, Shipura Chatzotzarta, that which was previously known as a shofar, is now called Chatzotzarta. Chatzotzarta, that which was previously called Chatzotzarta, is now called Shipura. My nafkamina, the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. What's the nafkamina, which was called which? The shofar Rosh Hashanah. You go to the store, you know what to buy. Then petorta, petora, petora, petorta. So the Rashi elsewhere explains that they both mean table, but petora was a large table, petorta was a small table. So that which is called petorta, initially a small table, is now called petora. Then petora is now called petorta. And that comes up in the Chumash. Who can remind us where in the Chumash this is that mentions the Torah? Nobody. And where in the Chumash Torah? Yes. Where does it show up in the Chumash? Parshas Balak, right? When he sits for Bilam, the Torah, Shola Nahar, Eretz Bnei Amon, look for low. And Rashi says, why is he cool? Why is the Torah? I think he says that he was like a Shulchani. Shulchani is like the money changer. The people come to him, and he's always involved with people. All right, anyway, so let's see back to the Gemara. So Lamai Nafkamina, what's the Nafkamina? What one thing is cool? Lamecha Chbinkar, business. In other words, if I go to the marketplace and I say, you know, it sounds like Fiddler on the Roof. It was a horse. It was a horse or a mule. But anyway, but in other words, but if I say I want to buy a Torah, so that's the smaller table now. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Afani Omer, Abaye says, I have my own item to mention that has changed with time. And this is up your Shai with us. This is for you, Shai now. It's really for all of us. Amar Abaye, Afani Omer, Bekase Hovlila, Hovlila Bekase. So if you remember from Chulin, the ruminants, like the cows, have four stomachs. So the second stomach is the reticulum, which is like has cup-like surfaces in it, and it has a thick wall of the stomach. And then the third stomach is the hemses, the omasum, right? The hemses, which has a thinner wall. So he says, Amar by Apanil Meir, Bekase Hovlila. That which was previously called the Bekase, the reticulum, is now called the Hovlila, that which we refer to as the third stomach. Hovlila, that which we refer to as Hovlila, which was originally the third stomach, is now Beikasi. One second. So the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. What's the Nafkamina? Which stomach is which? So Gemara says, Lamachan Nimsa Ba'ofi Beta Koso. If there's a needle that's found in the stomach wall. So if the Lacha is, again, so Macha, that could be one of the trapas if there's a hole in the stomach wall. But if the Macha seems to only go through half the stomach wall. So with Beikase, it's a thick stomach wall. So if the machat was like partway through the wall, we don't assume it went all the way through because it's a thick stomach wall. So it's not trach. But the hemsase, it's a thinner wall. So even though we don't see it going all the way through, even if it's partway, we treat it as trach. Let me just do one more, then you'll comment. Now the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Bar Yosef. Rabbi Bar Yosef says, Afani Omer, Rabbi Bar Yosef, I have another one to add on that has changed with time. Babel Bursif, Bursif Babel. That location that was known as Babel is now known as Bursif, and that which was Bursif is now Babel. So Lamai Nafkamina, turn page, top line on Lama Delama Beis, Nafkamina Legite Nashim. The words, or I read it twice, it says, Lamai Nafkamina Legite Nashim. So Rashi explains, and Dafyomi people may remember this from the last cycle, or otherwise it's coming up in the next cycle, this coming cycle. So the halacha is, if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, the shliach has to say, "B'panei nifta, b'panei nechtam." But this get was written in my presence and sealed in my presence, and there's two reasons for that. One is that I won't be able to be mekayim the get. I won't be able to verify the signature of the edim here in Eretz Yisrael, because the edim that were in Chutz La'aretz are not known here. So the shliach has to say, "B'panei nifta, b'panei nechtam." I saw them sign it, and the second is that they're not so baki lishma, and that we have to have testimony that the get was written lishma. So he's going to say, in Achinami, the guy said, I have in mind for this wife and that wife and the whole thing, and so then it's good. So you always have to say that. But having said that, the Gemara learns the first narrow line in Rashi. So the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, Babel carries Yisrael the Gittin. That Babel, now within Eretz Israel, you don't have to say Bani Netta, Bani Netta. Within Eretz Israel, so there are Talmidei Chachamim, and we're not afraid that they're not writing the Get Lishma. And the people, it's easy for us to verify the Edim, because the Ole Regalim, people are always coming to Yerushalayim, they recognize signatures, and will be able to verify it. So on the first line in Rashi, if you're reading on Tom, the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, Babel carries Israel the Gittin, that Babel has the same status as Eretz. So in Eretz Israel, you don't have to say Bani Netta, Bani Netta. And the Gemara learns that Babel has the same din as Eretz Israel with Gittin. Lefi Shein B'nai Torah, Ubiki and Lishma, because they're also B'nai Torah in Babel, and they're Baki Lishma. Ubnei Yeshiva Mitzrin Leif Lomod Misham Torah Mikoma Komod. And the B'nai Yeshiva constantly go from Babel to Eretz Israel, so they'll be able to verify the signatures. Now, the Gemara says, Ubursif Samach LeBabel. The location of Bursif that's near Babel, the Einan B'nai Torah. In other words, so Babel is like Borough Park. Bursif is, I don't want to say a community, but it's like a community that's not Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, I don't want to say any community because otherwise I'll get lynched. So Babel, you don't have to say Fani Nechtam, Fani Nechtam. Bursif, you do have to say it. That's originally. So the Gemara says, the Einan B'nai Torah, it's like a boar, like whose waters were poured out, and nothing was left in it. It means that they have no learning. Maybe Babel, Sarshumar, and Bursif ain't Sarish. So now it's punkfakert. Now the names are changed. So that which we knew previously called Babel is now called Bursif. So from Bursif, you don't have to say Bani Nechtam. That which is now was Bursif is now Babel. There you do not have to say Bani Nechtam. Okay. Who said questions, comments, thoughts, and ideas so far? You want to see something, Shaya?
Yes, sir. Put a magnet on it.
And the magnet would make it a trade, you're saying? Oh, the needles and other things. Those things. So it's preventing it from becoming a trade. But is this even like non-Jews did this, or only like everyone did this? Oh, so everybody's interested in the couch and have become a trade book.
Stomach will not live for a long time. No, it's not completely.
All right, everybody good? Okay. All right, I'm going on unless anybody has more questions or comments. Okay, listen to the next Mishnah. So, the Mishnah says, Matnitin, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shosha Hadassim Shtei Aravot, Lulabachai Vetrog Echad. So the Tan Rabbi Shmuel says, like, this is the way the halacha is now, that in other words, the Torah doesn't explicitly tell us how many of these minim you should take. So the Tan Rabbi Shmuel says you should take three Hadassim. The Gemara is going to learn, it says, Anaf Eitz Avot. The way Rashi learns, Anaf is one, Eitz is two, Avot is three. That's the way he learns it. Anaf Eitz Avot. So three Hadassim, Ushtei Aravot, two Aravot, Lulav Echad, he's going to learn Kapotarim, Kapot is spelled without the Vav, so it could read Kapat Marim, like one Lulav branch, Vetrog Echad. Then, and we don't understand this line, but I'll explain in a minute, the Gemara says, Afilu Shnaim Ketumim, V'Echad Eno Katum. According to Bishmael, even though I take three Hadassim, even if two of them are clipped at the top and one is not clipped, it's still good. So the Gemara is going to ask the Stira. Here you're telling me I need three Hadassim. So if I need three kosher Hadassim, so if Katum renders it Pasol, so they should all be not Katum. And if Katum doesn't render it Pasol, then they could even all be Ketumim. So the Gemara is going to say that we don't know the stance that Rabbi Shmuel changed his position. Originally he held you need three Hadassim. Then he changed his mind and held you only need one Hadass. And so the third line in the Mishnah reflects his later opinion. So even Ketumim means that even if there would be none, it would be good. He says, let's do the Rashi on this. Around the 10th narrow line, he's referring to Hadassim. The Gemara Parach Manavshach. So the Gemara is going to ask, what difference does it make? E Katam Pasol, Hutzarech Shlosha. If Katam is Psol, if it's clipped at the top, it's Psol, and he needs three Hadassim, the Bai Kulu Shlemim. So he shouldn't require three that are complete. The E Katam Kasher, and if Katam he considered to be Kasher, is going to be a question whether Hadassim have a din of Hadar or not. So if it has no din of Hadar, then it doesn't make a difference if it's Katam. So he says, V'i Katam Kasher, Lichshir Shlosh Tan Ketumim. So he said, all three should be Ketumim. But in other words, if I don't even... So he says, Mishani, so the Gemara is going to explain, Chazar Bo Rabbi Shmuel Mitchila Dvarav. Rabbi Shmuel retracted his original position, Shayam Asrich Shosha, he required originally three Hadassim. V'amar, if you Shnaim Ketumim, he says, even if two are clipped, even if they didn't bring them, in other words, I only need one hadas. So ketumim is like nishka pe'alach, but it's not doing anything. So back in the Gemara, on line four, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, afilu shlashtan ketumim. Rabbi Tarfon says that even all three of the hadasim could be ketumim, to be clipped. And Rashi, I think, explains. Look at Rashi. He doesn't require hadar by the hadas. And you see that we need to discuss this, that that's the halakha, but we'll see, but subject to discussion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Shem Shalulav Echad V'Etrog Echad. Rabbi Kiva says, just like there's one lulav, one etrog, Tach hadas echad v'arava echad. So too, there's only one hadas and one arava. Okay? So that's the Mishnah so far. Any questions, comments, thoughts on the Mishnah? All right, let's go on. We've got a nice group today. All right, let's see the Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, which is going to elaborate on the halakha that we learned in the Mishnah. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, pre Eitz Hadar Echad. When it says pre Eitz Hadar, the fruit of a goodly tree, where, you know, Hadar, there's different explanations. One was that Hadar, Yilanomi, Shanad, Shanad. But pre Eitz Hadar Echad, that means one fruit, it's the etrog. Kapot Tamarim, again, Kapot is spelt effectively without the Vav, Echad. This is one lulav. Anaf Eitz Avot Shlosha. So the Gemara doesn't explain how we get to Shlosha here, but if you look at Rashi on the Gemara, Anaf Chad Eitz Chad Avot Chad. That's the way Rashi learns that that's what it seems like. Anaf Eitz Avot. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. He says Arve Nachal Shtaim. Arve is plural, so the minimum of the plural is two. Va'pilu Shnaim Ketumim Ve'Chad Sheino Katum. And even according to Rabbi Shmuel, they could both be ketumim. If you have two ketumim and one shino ketum. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel only requires, we discussed this, really one. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, shlosha. Rabbi Tarfon says you need three hadasim, filu shashtan ketumim. You need all three ketumim because we said he doesn't require hadar. Rabbi Kiva Omer, shem shlulav echad v'etrog echad, just like you have one lulav, one etrog, tach hadas echad v'arav echad. Now we have Amar lo Reb Lezer. It's not clear who Reb Lezer is speaking to, and some leave out the word lo. So it's just like Amar Reb Lezer. I might have thought that the etrog, I don't know where is Pesach David. I don't think he's here tonight, but this is a question that Pesach David asked.
He is here.
Pesach David, this is the question you asked the other night. Here it comes. You see, everything comes in Daf Yomi. So he says, Amar lo Reb Lezer, etrog, I might have thought the etrog should be bound together with the lulav arabon and hadasim. Amrit, v'chinemar pri'etz hadar v'kapot tamarim. Does the Torah say pri'etz hadar v'kapot tamarim and kapot tamarim? V'lulunemar el kapot. And so that means it's separate. So we have the pri'etz hadar and then kapot tamarim and nafet sofar and nafal. It's a separate unit. U'minayin shem akvin zedzeh. How do I know? And the simple way to learn this Gemara is that it's one mitzvah. And if you don't have one of the minim, you don't have any mitzvah. It's like if I have tzitzis on three quarters of the garment, I don't have any mitzvah. If I have three partial tefillin, I don't have any mitzvah. Minayin shem akvin zedzeh? Tamud lomar u'lekachtem. It says u'lekachtem lachem b'yom rishon shtei l'kicha tamud. So the Gemara darshens it out. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi tama shlema complete. The darish v'lakachta tam. In other words, it's u'lekachtem, but the Gemara darshens it out. L'kicha tamo, like l'kach tam. It was like you take a complete taking of it. Okay, so that's that braisa. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, now here's the question that Rashi quoted before. Rabbi Shmuel, manavshach. Rabbi Shmuel, either way, it doesn't make sense. Ish leimin boy, if he requires shleimim that hadasim that are not plucked, ibai nami kulu. So then all of them should be unplucked. And then again, Rabbi Shmuel said in the braisa and in the Mishnah, he said that he can even have two ketumim, one ain't katum. So if he requires shleimim, they should all be shleimim. He lo by shleimim, then if he doesn't require shleimim, afilu kadami lo, that even one he shouldn't require. So Amar Bira'a was a chacham. Amar Bira'a and Rabbi Chazabu Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind. So initially, in Akinami, he holds you need shleimim. Initially, he thought three hadasim, and then he felt you only need one hadas. So he says, so one hadas, you want to have two of the ketumim and one shalim, so it's like, doesn't, not mala nama uri. So Rabbi Tarfon said in the Mishnah, even if all three are katum, plucked at the top of it, it's kasher. So Shmuel says, halacha to Rabbi Tarfon. Shmuel says, halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. But as the Shmuel Tame, Shmuel follows the Shita. The Amr who Shmuel, now with the Mizabne Asa, Shmuel said to the people who were selling Hadasim, Ashu Zabinu, I want you to even out the price for the true value, in other words, don't, you know, price gouge, the low, and if not, the Rishon Lehu Krabi Tarfon. I'm going to darshan to everybody that, in other words, they're charging more because they're trying to get the ones that aren't ketumim. So, but I'm going to darshan to everybody and tell them that ketumim are good, and then the price is going to crash. So my time, so why did he say that? Elay Mishnah to make hill, if it's because he wanted to take the most lenient opinion, so then why didn't he darshan like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is even more of a kula. Rabbi Akiva says that you only need one of each min, right? Rabbi Akiva says that there's only one lulav, one hadas, and one arava. So the Gemara says it's not so pashut that Rabbi Akiva is the most leading opinion, because tlata ketume shchiche, chad lo katum lo shchiach. In other words, to have three hadasim, even though if you require three, but they're all ketumim, that's very common. That would be very cheap. But within Rabbi Akiva, he holds it can't be katum. So doing like Rabbi Akiva wouldn't necessarily have, you know, crashed the market, but paskening like Rabbi Tarfon did crash the market. Okay, now, let me just talk for a minute or two, and then we will open up the floor. All right, one second. Now he says over here, the Gemara learned the lakicha tamo, which is the lulav, the ha'esrog, the hadas, and the ravo. So the Rambam explains the combination of all four species comprises only one mitzvah, not four. Therefore, if one takes only three species, he's not fulfilled any mitzvah at all. So the Gemara Menachot and Chav Zion concludes that although all the four species comprise one mitzvah, as long as one has all four species present, the mitzvah is fulfilled. Yeshlo ein ma'akvin, and they need not be fastened together. This is because Allah follows the opinion that lulav ain't sarik eged. Lulav doesn't require an eged. I don't need to tie around the lulav. And the arabon and dasa need not be fastened to lulav. Although it is a Hebrew mitzvah, the embellishment of the mitzvah to fasten species to lulav, it's not ma'akev. the interpretation of this halakha, Yeshlo Ein Ma'akbein, is subject to dispute among the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that although binding the species together is not an absolute requirement, it is essential that one hold all of them in his hands simultaneously. If one takes each of the species individually, he does not fulfill the mitzvah. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam is taking. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if I lift up one, put it down, and two, and then three, and then four, I'm not using the mitzvah. I take all four, even though they're not bound together. The Bahag, as understood by the Rush, is of the opinion that one fulfills the mitzvah even if he takes each species in his hands individually, as long as all four species are in his presence at the time of the bracha. So according to the Bahag, as long as I have all four on the table in front of me, I take one, put it down, two, put it down, three, put it down, and four, put it down. The Ramban is of the opinion that the mitzvah is fulfilled as long as all four species are eventually taken at some point during the day. So the Ramban is even like more, I guess, lenient. He's saying, I have to take all four, but at 9 o'clock, I can pick up the esrog, at 10 o'clock, the lulav, at 11 o'clock, the aravot, and at 12 o'clock, the hadassim, and I'll fulfill the mitzvah, even if they aren't all present when the bracha is recited. Now, although the Ramban is of the opinion that one fulfills the mitzvah, even if he takes the four species at separate times throughout the day, he says it is not advisable to recite the bracha unless one is certain he will eventually obtain all the species, all of them are in his possession. The Ramban is concerned that if all the species are not in one's possession, he may fail to eventually obtain some of them, and the mitzvah would remain unfulfilled, and his bracha in retrospect would be a bracha levatala. So I'm making the bracha, and then I'm doing it, I'm stretching it out. The Rama rules that one may not speak between the taking of one species and the next. He says that if one interrupts between the taking of lulav and another species, he is most recite another bracha. So accordingly, even if one is certain that he will eventually obtain all the species later in the day, he should not recite the bracha of lulav unless he has all the four species in his presence, so that he should not mistakenly make a hefsek between taking lulav and the other species. The Magen Avraham and Leil Rabba indicate that if one makes an interruption after taking lulav, he does not recite the usual bracha al netilat lulav. So here's like, this is the thing, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch this way. He says, rather, he takes the remaining three species and recites a bracha pertaining only to those species. In other words, if I do bracha al netilat lulav, then I take a lulav, and then I talk, then I'm going to make a bracha on each one of the lulavs. Al netilat lulav is on all four. But if I speak, so now it's not going on all four. So then I make a bracha al netilat hadas, then al netilat arava, and al netilat etrog. The Mishaburu ever questions this ruling. He argues that since the four species are interdependent, perhaps the lulav should be taken again, since there was an interruption between the species, and the standard bracha al netilat lulav should be recited on all four species. All right, now, one minute. Let me get this other piece here. This is Lamed Daled. Okay, so that's the piece with the all the minim being together. Now, the Beis Yosef, this is from the Daf Digest, the Beis Yosef notes that neither the Gemara nor earlier poskim explain whether or not it's necessary to hold the esrog together with lulav during the waving of the four species. Rabbeinu Menachem Rikanti writes explicitly that the esrog must be next to lulav during the waving of the species. Foundation for this ruling was a dream he had one year on the first night of Sukkot. The message of the dream was that separating the esrog from the other species is the equivalent of separating the last hay from the first three letters of Hashem's name. In other words, like you have four minim, each one represents a different letter of Hashem Hashem. So if I leave the esrog and I hold separately, like I could be holding it like at the same time, but I'm not holding it together. I'm like, and the Kabbalah, we say liachesim yudke bebabke. You want to be miached, keep the Shem Hashem together. Rabbi Moshe Ibn Chaviv cites Rabbi Gemara's proof for Rabbeinu Rikanti's ruling. Rabbi Lezer, based on a teaching of Rabbi Akiva, entertained the possibility the esrog should be bundled together with the other species. The reason this is not required, the Torah does not link the esrog and lulav with the vav, the way Hadassim and Rabbah are linked to the lulav. This indicates that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. The only limitation, however, is that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. However, the esrog should still be held together with the other species. The Chuvus Pula Tzadik writes that one should try to hold all the species in both hands. Gemara relates that the reason lulav is taken in the right hand is that it contains three mitzvahs rather than one. This shows that there is an importance to hold the species in the right hand. Lulav takes precedence because it contains more mitzvot. If, however, all the species could be held in both hands together, would constitute a better fill in the mitzvah. Okay, let me see two or three things about this. First, the Chafetz Chaim has a piece, you know, the four minim, it's brought down the Medrash, the four minim, there are different things the Medrash brings down, but the famous member of Chazal, four minim represent four types of Jews. The esrog has a sweet fragrance and a good taste. Smells good, nice taste. Those are the Jews who have Torah learning and Masim Tovim. The smell is Torah learning, and the taste is mitzvot. The lulav has no fragrance, but it has a taste. and with dates presumably. And that's the people who don't have learning, but they do masim tovim. Hadassim have a nice fragrance, but no good taste. And that's the people who have learning, but no good masim tovim. The rabbis have zero. So the Medrash brings down, what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu tell us to do? They should all come together. Bichapru elu elu. Each one will bring kapara over the other one. Try this with us. Okay, bring kapara. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you see, the Esrog represents the Talmid Chacham. He's the one with learning in Masim Tovim. So Chafetz Chaim says, you see, the Talmid Chacham only gets together with the other three, Bishas Mitzvah. In other words, you bring the Esrog together, you make the bracha, you wave it. When the mitzvah's over, you put the Esrog back in its box, the other three stay together. Means, like a Talmid Chacham, you know, he doesn't hang out with people who aren't so learned and osek and masim tovim, unless it's for a mitzvah. Then he does it. Otherwise, he pulls away from it. Okay. All right. Who's the questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far? Quiet group here tonight. Okay, let's go on to the kill. All right. Now, let me just do one last thing I want to say. I have this thing here. Yeah, so we had about Niktam Rosho. So it came out from this Mishnah that it looks like the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. So on line 4, Rabbi Tarfon says, Omerani, afilu shloshan ketuvim, that even if all three are katum, it's kasher. That's what we said. Now, most Rishonim hold this way, but there are some Rishonim who disagree with this. But he brings down the halacha with Rabbi Eider. He says, where a portion of the top tapui broke off, wherever possible, is best to use different hadas whose top is not broken. However, if no other hadas are available, it is permissible if the top leaves cover the top of the twig. And if the top leaf is missing completely from the hadas, it's kosher. Mahudar has top leaf present and whole. Anyway, but the idea is, so you should still try to get a hadas that's not kato. And today, when they sell them, they usually are not that way. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, the next Mishnah on Lama Dalam and Beis, Manitin. Now, this Mishnah is the same style as the previous Mishnah. So we had the first Mishnah was about Lulav. Then we had the one about Hadassim. Then we had a Rabot. Now we've arrived at Esrog. So Manitin, Etrog HaGazul by Yavesh Pasol. An Etrog that's stolen. We know it's not Lachem. Yavesh is dried up. It's not Hadar. Shal Asherib Shal Yirin Dachat Pasol. If it was from a Asherib tree in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to be burned. Yirin Dachat also has to be burned as Pasol because lacking the shear, we view it as being burned. Now here is the part which differs from the previous Mishnayot. Shal Orla Pasul. Now a fruit tree, the first 3 years, the fruit are Orla. So Chazal teach us that and we'll see in the Gemara, that the Esrog has to be something that you can eat. In other words, you have to be able to eat and get Hana from the Esrog. So the Orla, I'm not allowed to eat or get Hana from the Orla, so I can't use it as an Esrog. Shal Orla Pasul. Shal Truma Tmeya Pasul. Truma Tmeya, also, I can't eat that, right? It has to be able to be used by me. So Truma Tmeya is Pasul. Shal Truma Tahora Lo Yitovim Utal Kasher. So we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain with Truma Tahora. The fact that he's not a Kohen, but there's a Kohen who could eat it, that's the main thing. But with Truma Tahora, we're concerned, the Lulavim, they would leave in water. And they were concerned, so he'll bring the Esrog near the Lulav, and it'll be Machshir it with the water, and then it'll be Mekabel Tuma. So I'm not allowed to cause Tuma to become Tmeya. So that's my concern. So I shouldn't take it, but if I do it, it's Kasher. And then that's the way Kahati had it. You know, Shal Demai, and this is something we've had, comes up a number of places in Shas, we had it in Brachot. Shal Demai, Bichami Poslan Benhil Machshirim. Now, Demai is an Esrog that I bought from an Amma Aretz. So mostly Amma Aretz would take Maaser, but a minority would not take Maaser. But because I'll say you have to take Maaser. So, but the you can't eat it till you take the Maaser from it. So Beit Shammai passes it. In other words, I can't eat it, so it's possible. But Beit Hillel Machshir, because if I would want to, I could be Machshir Menachas and be an Ani. Then an Ani is allowed to eat the mine. So Maaser Sheni B'Yushalayim Lo Yitol B'Natal Kasher. Now, Master Sheni, if the Esrog is for Master Sheni is to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So it's only possible to be eligible in Yerushalayim. Not in Yerushalayim, then doesn't help me. But Shal Master Sheni Yerushalayim Lo Yitol B'Matal Kasher, here again, I'm concerned that it'll become Tameh. It'll come to contact with Lulav, which is moist, and then it'll be Mekabel Tuma. So I shouldn't take it, but until it's Kasher. Now, here's like the $64,000 question with the Esrogim. Al Tach Hazazit Al Rubo. So the art will translate as boils. I think I've seen it as a boils. Oh, so al tach hazid rubo. If mostly esrog is covered with boils, or nitla pitmato, the pitum is taken, the pitum is like that point on top of the esrog, niklaf, it was peeled, obviously you know that's not good, nistak split, nikave, and we have vichaser, or nikave, and nikave vichaser, kol shu pasul. If there's a hole in it, and it's chaser. So, 1 second, where is the Rashi on this? Right. So Rashi, look 4 lines from the bottom. Nike v'chaser koshu chada milta. Those two go together. Yilu nike v'lo chaser shabu machad v'otzia kasher. Kintani seifa. In other words, if it was nike and it was chaser, in other words, I made a hole and now it's like lacking some of the substance, it's pasul. Back in the Mishnah, al ta chazizid om yuto, if the boil is only on part of the esrog, natal ukso, the ukits, which is like the part, the stem, which is where it's attached to the bush, that's removed. Nikev lo chaser kol shu kasher. If it's a hole, but it's not chaser, it's kasher. Etrog hakushi pasul. The Ethiopian esrog is pasul. Rashi takes it 2 lines from the bottom. In Rashi, hakushi shabami eretz kush v'shachurhu. It comes from eretz kush, and the esrog is itself black. So that's what the Mishnah says. Etrog hakushi is pasul. I think the Gemara has something else coming up. All right, we'll see you on that now. Bahayarok kikarti, if it's green like a leek, Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda Posel. So we spoke about the green esrogim earlier, and we said that it should have some yellow in it. Bahayarok kikarti, Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda Posel. And you see the luck is like Rabbi Yehuda. Shir etrog hakatan, the size, the minimum size for an etrog, Rabbi Meir Omer Egos. Here it says the least the size, but not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebetza. Uva Gadol, the maximum size, Kideshu Chashnaim Biado, Divra Bihuda. Enough that he can hold 2 esrogim in 1 hand. That's the maximum size for an esrog. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Kabishte Yada. Rabbi Yossi holds, he can even hold 1 and with both of his hands. So it'd be like a watermelon. That's also kosher, according to Rabbi Yossi. And you see the luck of problems with Rabbi Yossi on that. Now, let me just do a little bit of story and then that'll be it. And I'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and I'll be it for the night. Now, there's a piece here. Michael doesn't like the stories, but I think it's nice. On today's daf, we find a listing of features that distinguishes the kosher arava from the invalid saf sefah. One of these traits is color. He says, while the true arava has a red stem, the saf sefah has a stem that is white. Rav Moshe Feinstein's style explains, since the willow represents a person devoid of Torah mitzvot, the arava has no smell, no taste. The redness of its stem symbolizes one of its main redeeming qualities, an honest awareness of the impropriety of his ways. In that sense, the redness of sin is actually a positive sign, since it proves at least the person knows the difference between right and wrong. The tzav sefer, on the other hand, represents a person who lives in denial. All the bad he does and all the good that he fails to do is all white as far as he's concerned. Such a person is very far from repentance and repair. In other words, I assume he means it could be the red represents avera or represents embarrassment. Once, one of the followers of the Rebbe, Rav Nachman of Breslov, Tzal, asked whether trying to cover up one's sins isn't really a kind of hypocrisy. He received an interesting response. There is a common saying, if a person is going to eat chazer, he should at least let the grease run freely down his beard. This is meant to say that he should not add hypocrisy. What?
That's the positive, the limit of the bullet.
Okay, wait, as essen chazer what?
Essen chazer.
Yeah.
So
ribbon in the board?
And
rearin or ribbon? Ribbon to board. Ribbon to board. Okay. This is meant to say. Okay.
Rinnin. It should drip. Rinnin.
All right. Okay. This is meant to say that he should not add hypocrisy to his sins. But I say, Rav Nachman says, if a person is going to do such a thing, he should at the very least wipe the grease off his beard, let him show a little shame. An Israeli Baal Tshuva was once asked what had inspired him to turn away from the lifestyle of the Hashomer HaTzair kibbutz on which he was raised. He said, I heard Rav Nachman saying about wiping the grease off of one's beard, and I took it to heart. I didn't stop sinning right away, but I did stop flaunting my sins and ultimately changed my life. In other words, that's one meter. In other words, even if you do the Aveira, but if you're embarrassed, is also a level. Okay. Any. All right. Well, then you got it. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Nice having everybody. Okay, that's it for tonight. Let me end the recording.
Thank you.
One second, let me turn this.